got color in your cheeks. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first episode of season two of Sports with Carney. It's a very special episode today. We got a guest on the show. We're going to do a celebrate an award that this show won that you guys helped win, so thank you for that. I'm your host, Logan Carney, and we'll get right into it. I really like this song. In case you don't recognize that laughter, that is Ian Kiss, the great Ian Kiss.
So you said special guest. You call me special?
Yes, I did.
Yay.
Ian is on today to help me celebrate being a finalist for the IBS Award, and we're going to do an IBS Award special today. As me and Ian are going to hand out our own awards, our own Pittsburgh Sports Awards of the Year. And Ian, I'm pretty excited. You know, like these people, you know, we have, I mean, just looking at this list, you know, we have three Pirates on here. You know,
it's an honor.
Yeah. It's a great honor.
Yeah,
you know,
like, you should take this and run with it. Like, it's an honor. We thought of them for these awards.
I mean, hey, there's three awards for the Pirates. That's three more wins they're going to get all this year. All right, so let's get to it. Having a little bit of audio trouble. Thank you for, we started late again today, but for some reason, it's just, the computers just don't like me. I've come to that conclusion. Every single time, ladies and gentlemen, just to specify what goes wrong, is that every time I log in Audition, I've realized that it tries to compute to record my radio stuff through the computer microphone instead of the microphones that are right in front of our faces.
Mm. Yeah, I don't get it. Technology, man.
Technology.
Can't rely on it when you need to. When you need it the most, it just, yeah, well, we're gonna make it work for it today.
So, Ian, we want to start getting in.
Yeah.
We're gonna announce the first awards.
Let's get right into it.
All right. Our first award of the evening is going to go to Driver of the Year. And the winner is Jung Ho Gong.
Man, what a what a year it has been. His career's over. You can blame his driving for that, but definitely Driver of the Year, Jung Ho.
I mean, not even that, you know, the effects that his driving has had on the team as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, and just how do you not, when you do your research, when you scout, you know, Jung Ho, how do you not realize that he had two DUIs before he came here? And
yeah,
it's frustrating.
And there's apparently more if you want to believe the evidence that's out on those, I guess they said, but yeah, his time as a Pirate's done, thanks to his driving.
I mean, we'll announce the next one because it kind of ties into what we should discuss with it. We're going to go and we're going to do the Patient of the Year Award. The Patient of the Year Award is going to go to... Oh, for some reason, we have audio troubles again. Oh, there we go. A little bit late, but there we go. The Patient of Award goes to Patient... Zero Starling Marte. I mean, and the thing is about, you know, these two guys are two award winners of the evening. By the way, neither one, they respectfully, you know, we couldn't reach them to come here. We couldn't reach them. We didn't try, but we couldn't reach them. You know, the thing is about those two guys, you know, the effect that they had on this baseball team not being there. Because at the deadline, they were a game out. They were one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but feel like it would have the seat last season, while they still would not have been good enough as, you know, the Cubs or Dodgers,
for sure,
or anything like that. But you can't help but feel like, you know, maybe this team is in contention the whole year. Maybe they're in a better spot at the deadline. Who knows? Maybe they were in first place in division at deadline if Gong and Marte were on the field.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this team, you know, a lot of people didn't think last year they had a chance going into the regular season. But I'm like, hold up. Like, I actually think that I give them a chance. I give them a good chance. And then those, you know, out there that Jung Ho, we thought we were going to get him back. Don't get him back at all when it came out that he doesn't get his visa, come back to the States. And then when I'm in advertising class, getting the notification that Starling Marte failed a drug test out 90 games, what it was, something, or 80 games. And then... I'm like, yeah, and then it all went downhill from there.
I mean, they still had. I mean, a lot took into the season last year. I mean, we're not going to excuse Kutch and Cole's performances. We're not going to excuse, you know, the fact that they didn't fill those holes when they could have filled those holes for practically nothing if they just spent a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of spending a little bit more, we're going to get into our third award of the night. And this award goes to, named after the school, you know, the great financier of the Revolution, Robert Morris Financier of the Year, goes to Mr. Robert Nutting. So don't worry, Mr. Nutting. The awards that we have are real gold. We will send it to you, and you can
don't worry.
You can sell it. You can reuse it, and maybe you can put another hill out in Seven Springs with it,
or buy another ski lift.
I mean, again, you know, the things that went into the season last year and the season upcoming this year, the team struggled because, you know, the main reasons I would personally put the blame on those three. You know, Nutting not giving, you know, Neil Huntington enough money to go out and fill those holes, despite the money that they saved on the contracts of Martin Gong.
Yeah.
Martin Gong, you know, complete off the field issues, completely ruining the team and hurting the team significantly. And yes, there are other factors that go into it. There are. I mean, again, Kutch Cole did not play great.
Polanco.
Yeah, Polanco. We said jinx, knock on wood. So the thing is, those Ian, and we'll keep going through our awards, but we'll talk a little bit Pirates here. Just how do you feel about, you know, the trades that they did? How do you feel about the season upcoming? How do you feel about last year? Do you think the team's just as good as it was last year? Do you think they improved? Do you think they declined with the trades? What do you think happened?
Well, my biggest thing with the Kutch trade is, yeah, you could say, you know, his numbers were not great. You know, you're really not losing a lot with him in terms of performance. But I think you're losing a great individual. You're losing a leader. You're using a mentor to the young guys of the team. You know, they get all these young guys to bring them up eventually, and now there's no one really out there that you can really use as a mentor for them, because a guy who spent his whole career in Pittsburgh is now gone. No one really, you know, you can say Harrison is now probably going to be a mentor if he doesn't get traded, because he wants out. But, you know, no one else. You think Polanco is going to be a leader? You think Marte's going to be a leader? No, Marte's not going to be a leader. I think Marte was one of the most selfish guys on the team. And now you get away Kutch. These guys coming up are the young guys on the team and the rookies, that they don't have any mentorship, because you got rid of Andrew McCutchen.
See, I never thought of it that way. I think as the role of a mentor, as far as a player go, I think it's a little bit overstated. I agree. I don't think they should have traded McCutchen, but that's because I'm a fan and I'm a greedy fan. And so I was really upset with the team and everything like that. The team, to me, you know, looking at it, they look the same. They don't look better. They don't look worse. Because Cole and Kutch were not good the past 2 years.
I'm just worried a little bit about the pitching staff. Just a little bit.
The rotation, I like the rotation. The bullpen just worries me, because besides Rivera,
don't worry, we got Felipe.
Yeah, he struggled down the stretch.
They signed Felipe in 8 years. we're golden. What are you worried about, Logan?
Yeah, too bad he won't ever see the end of that contract.
No, he'll be trade bait next year, if not this year.
All right, we're gonna move on to our next one, and Ian, this one appropriately named. The Tequila Cowboy Award goes to Todd Haley, the new Cleveland Brown.
He's had a great month.
I don't even care if it didn't happen last year, and it technically happened this year. That incident of him just at a Tequila Cowboy. First of all, what are you doing at a Tequila Cowboy? I know what you're going to say. Yes, I heard those rumors too. And that's what we all believe it is. Would you like to tell for the audience, Ian?
Yeah, it's out there rumored that him and his wife are swingers. And it was a swing gone wrong. And he ended up on the ground, I guess, a physical altercation with his wife and a co-swinger. And he hurt his hip. And apparently he has like a fracture or something. But like, Yeah, I heard it was a swing gone wrong at Tequila Cowboy.
It's more ridiculous than the Joey Porter incident like 2 years ago.
Because that was like Joey Porter just got
mad technically that happened because that happened in January last year.
That did, yeah.
Okay, so the co-winner of the Tequila Cowboy award goes to.
Even though Joey wasn't at Tequila Cowboy, we'll just say he was at Tequila
Joey
Cowboy.
Joey Porter, give it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, our live studio audience.
Tequila Cowboy and that place on the south side. I didn't take my tongue. It's right next to Mario's. Man, what a place. Mike Tallman's like, stay off of the north. Go home, guys.
What a great coaching staff.
Go home after the big games, guys. Go home.
What a great coaching staff that they assembled. And off the field wise, just amazing. Utterly amazing.
Next, we're going to get a notification that Mike Tomlin messed up down in Orlando during the Pro Bowl.
You just never imagine. You didn't want to swing?
Hey, we're swingers. You guys in?
Swing with you. You didn't just lose that game, did you? You didn't lost that game last night. It was a little bit Western at the end. We'll move on.
Virginia.
Yeah, it was a little bit Western. And we'll get into our next award here. This one, I named that to my girlfriend because she said she never gets a shout out in here. And I talk about it all the time. It's just ridiculous. So the Alexis Savinda Time Management Award goes to Mike Tomlin. I mean, just look at all the, like, one of the biggest things is who calls a timeout, first of all. Who doesn't call a timeout when the clock's running before and uses and doesn't call one out before the 2 minute mark? Who doesn't kick it deep with over 2 minutes left, all your timeouts and the 2 minute mark with two timeouts?
What if that would have happened?
Who doesn't? The answer to all of those mystical, magical world questions that we thought we would never get the answer to? Mike Tomlin.
The guy who makes up words, made up the word chunkability in his press conference for the first game against Washington last season. Man, he is away with press conferences and words.
And while I don't think that he should be fired by any means this year, you got to help him wonder, you know, there's obviously two issues that he needs to fix with him, you know. Yes, I like his energy and everything he gives. I don't like to use the term player's coach, but he does need to be a little bit more of an authoritarian because he can't keep allowing the stuff happen.
He's not an authoritarian.
Yeah, reportedly with Le'Veon Bell not showing up, showing up with 5 minutes left to their pre-game meeting and showing up late to the game on Saturday, Sunday. I mean, you got to be more of an authoritarian. You don't have to be a Bill Belichick, but you have to be a little bit more.
You got
to
punish him.
Exactly.
You punish him, he's not going to do it again.
Exactly, and then the time management, another big issue that, you know, we say he needs to fix, but he's been the Steelers coach for, what, 8 years now?
He's double digits, I think.
I think might have been a 10th season, I would have to guess.
11, yeah.
Might have been his 10th season. We're going to move on to our next awards. This is going to go to the Game of the Year. So we have a good one here. The Game of the Year goes to Le'Veon Bell versus the Patriots in Madden. That was just a great quote from the Jaguars to summarize what has been one of the Steelers' biggest problems of the past couple of years, overlooking opponents. They overlooked the Jaguars and it bit them in the butt.
It did. I mean, it truly did. They definitely, but like, I don't know how you go with that much confidence when you lost 30-9.
That's what I said. Like even, you know, my dad was like, we're going to blow them out 30-10. And I'm saying, well, we lost to them before. They have an amazing defense. I'm a little bit scared for this game. I am worried. And we had that argument, and I had that argument with a bunch of people. And I hate to say I told you so when it went with the Steelers, right? But, yeah, I told you so. And now, but Le'Veon Bell, you are taking home some trophy. You played the game of the year. I hope you beat the Patriots in the Madden, and I can't wait to watch you play in the Madden Bowl. And now we're going to go to the forgettable name of the year goes to Mike Mitchell. The whole trash talk of just going to another team's locker room and saying, you're going to remember my name. when you haven't done anything all year. It's just, maybe, you know, to be fair though, we are going to remember his name for being horrible in that whole incident.
Not for his on-field performance, but for talking a big game and doing nothing to back it up.
That was also an award that he was nominated for. Unfortunately, that award was not given out. The talking the big game and not backing up and being able to back up. Well, who would you want to back you up in a fight? There were some other names that we threw out there for Mitchell, but we ended up going with this one. And you think about it. What is the perfect moment to summarize what has been the drama-filled soap opera that was the Pittsburgh Steelers season? Would you pick the Todd Haley being pushed out, or being beaten up? Would you take the Le'Veon Bell? By the way, he also tweeted about video games like 2 hours after. I don't think anybody even talked about that. 2 hours after they lost, he was tweeting about, is Mario the best video game character of all time? That was the first tweet he sent out after they lost. So, fans, if you're wondering if players can move on quicker than losses than we can, because I'm still hurting from it, then yes, they can. Would it be just the whole fiasco with Le'Veon Bell, or would it be the Mike Mitchell talking crap on the Jaguars only to watch him get blown out?
For how hilarious the Mike Mitchell one is, and I'm not surprised by the Le'Veon Bell one, but if it's true that Todd Haley hurt himself in a swing gone wrong and then like pushed by his wife or something, he fell at Tequila Cowboy and like cracked his hip or whatever happened, I'm picking that one because that is hilarious. It's not like Jerry Porter where he got in a fight with the doorman, because you know him and the doorman have had history. I mean, if I was Jerry Porter, I see the doorman there, I wouldn't go over. Oh, the Flats. That's what it was. The Flats. Right next to Mario's on the south side.
The Flats.
Yeah, the Flats. Now, yeah, a swing gone wrong. That is hilarious. I'm picking that one.
You know what? We should give that one. Nice golf clap. That's the swing gone wrong. But, of course, you know, Le'Veon Bell, we all hope you do good in your game in Madden. By the way, we did add a new repertoire to the Sports with Connie. I downloaded a noise thing. So we have some great ones. I mean, give it up, guys. Give it up. Oh, I love this thing. I absolutely love this thing. Anyway, we're going to get to our next award here. As we're approaching 20 minutes, we have 4 awards left to go. So we're doing making pretty good on time. This is a 30-minute shortened special. This next award is going to be the Free Man Awards. Free Man Awards. And the Free Man Award goes to John Banaszak. No, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. But for those of you that don't know, aren't too familiar with Robert Morris Sports, head coach John Banaszak was our football coach for the past 4 years. And, you know, again, we don't like to say we told you so, but last year we did write an article about how they should, or 2 years ago, we wrote an article about how they should fire him. And the athletic department wasn't too happy, but hey, who told who? I mean, the team, you know, they've averaged what, three? Did they have 4 wins under him in a single season?
Yes, my sophomore year.
So they had 1 season of 4, 2 with 2, and 1 of 3, right?
So this year we only had 2 wins. My freshman year they had 1 win. My sophomore year they had 4 wins. My junior year, I'm all over the place here. My junior year, they had 3 wins. So they beat Malone, and they beat Central Connecticut.
Well, how do you feel about the new hire?
I like him. I mean, I think he's bringing in a good – Bernard Clark's going to bring in a good, you know, setting to this team, a new change of pace that this team needs. He's going to bring in discipline, which I think this team lacked. And I think, you know, he has a very, you know, no-nonsense, repertoire to him and, reputation. And I really like his three roles. Was it three roles he's bringing in? I think they're necessary to turning around a program here on Morrison. He's looking to build a culture. It's going to be a struggle, but I think he's eventually going to be, I think he's going to retire here. And I think he's really going to, because I think he's at the plateau in his career where I don't think he's going to go anywhere bigger. So I think he can really devote his time and really make Moon Township or the surrounding community in Mark Morris his home and really build this and set up the next head coach, Rob Morris, after him to, keep this program going on the right path, just like Joe Walton. We need that we need the Joe Walton culture back, and I think Bernard Clark's your guy.
I mean, I agree with you. I think Coleman, athletic director Coleman, made an amazing hire with Bernard Clark. I mean, when I first read it, I didn't really necessarily. I had to read up on Bernard Clark after doing some more research. Because my first reaction is, why would you hire a defensive-minded coach when your team's, historically has been bad on offense? Why not hire an offensive mind, see if they can fix that? But the Bernard Clark seemed like a great coach. I respect him because, reading his pressers, he seems like an amazing guy. Somebody that, no nonsense and stuff like that. Seems like a great guy, very respectable guy. And while, this year is going to be adjustment year, they're not, maybe 4 wins.
Maybe.
I think that'd be a good goal to set yourself as this year for 4 wins with a new head coach. But do I think that the football program could be fixed under Bernard Clark? Yes. Bernard Clark, yes. I'm only worried about if he stays because, yes, you said he has moved around a loss. He may want to settle down. That's one way you can view it. But you can also view it as...
I think him and his wife are just tired of moving.
Yeah, I understand why you could view it like that. But another reason is to think, well, maybe he's just always chasing the better job. Maybe when a better job comes around, he'll take it.
Yeah, the only thing that kind of gets me a little bit is he's never been a head coach. So it makes me wonder why he's never gotten a head... Maybe he hasn't wanted it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's had offers but didn't take down.
Maybe we can dig deeper in when we sit down with him. We can kind of, feel the water, see, but if he's never been offered a head coaching job, then that makes me wonder a little bit. But I think he definitely has the resume to be a head coach. I think he has the knowledge and the skills. And like I said, I think he's going to retire here as a Colonial.
All right, so we're going to move on to our next award. This time we're going to our Franchise Player of the Year. Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell taking home 2 awards. A big award winner for Bell. 2 awards. I mean, do you think, moving on, do you think that they should franchise tag him? You think they should call his bluff?
Well, I don't. Well, did you see there is a notification to you that the Steelers have set a February 20th hard deadline to try to get a finalized contract with him?
I did not see that.
So I think that's a step in the right direction for Bell because I think, where they're not waiting till April, August, or July. They have June, July. They have to have it done. They're not waiting till then. They're not waiting till a month. They want to get it done in February, the end of February. So I think it's really that makes me think they're going to get a deal done. Again, he's going to want to be paid as a receiver and a back.
Which I don't. I don't think
because his numbers of receiving aren't that great. I mean, he does the little dumpy
passes. He's the best in the league.
Guys.
He's arguably the best overall athlete in the league.
Him and Brown.
Running backs are so replaceable. How many running backs has Bill Belichick and the Patriots have had over the past over all their Super Bowls?
Every year they have a new one.
So yes, everyone's like, yeah, well, if we lose Bell, we're not going to win a Super Bowl. Well, what great running back has Belichick ever had?
Yeah.
What great running back has Brady ever had?
LeGarrette Blount. Right?
You still have if you lose Bell, you still have the most talent on your offense than any other team in the league. And yet, you only need a decent running back. You get a guy like D'Angelo Williams. I mean, obviously not D'Angelo Williams because he's probably going to retire after not signing a contract this year. But if you get a guy like him who led the league in rushing before Bell came back, then you will be fine. I don't think it's worth paying him the money that he wants. I would call his bluff, franchise tag him. If he sits out for a whole year, which I do not think that he will because he seems way too egotistical and way too arrogant and way too full of himself to turn down $14 million.
A year, right?
Yeah, for a full year, let that paycheck go through. Then
that's what his franchise tag be. I mean, if he gets paid, if they offer him $70 million, $80 million, take it. take it because that's great. That's great money, but I like that. I'm blanking on his last name. First name's Steven. He was the backup again. He was the starter with Tucson against the in week 17 against the
Browns. Rod Stevens? Is that it? That might just be a name I made up.
His first name is Stephen.
Stephen Ridley.
Ridley, really. I know it's Riddle or Ridley. I mean, take it with a grain of salt. He did well against the Browns.
Of course.
But he looked good. He looked good.
Imagine if the story in Pittsburgh, if Bell leaves and Connor is a starting back and Connor has a 1,000-yard rushing year.
Uh-huh.
Now that would be the story. We're going to do our next awards. Publication of the Year awards. And it's going to go to DK Pittsburgh Sports. I think that one was worthy of some booze, too. And you know, DK, we've heard these rumors. In case you haven't known, what came out today is just how awful he treats his staff members. Horrible, horrible. I mean, the reason that nobody has stayed there for a couple months, I believe. I don't think anybody's ever stayed there for more than a year. And most people get turned over and fired, or they quit within like a couple of months, because he just, you know, the one story, the female reporter, I'm trying to think of her name,
she worked for the Pens,
right? Yeah, in NHL.com, and mm-hmm. she would cover the team, and
yeah, that was something else.
They hired, and then DK hired her and would praise her like he does for all of his employees, praise them right out of the gate, talk about them, and then he started giving her stories to other people without telling her.
Talk about
he
back.
Would change her role. Text talk about messages. How she lied to him, saying that she doesn't know anything about hockey, even though she worked for NHL.com. So the hockey people think that she knows stuff about hockey.
Yeah, they said he didn't believe she knew enough in terminology. The way she wrote her articles were like, you could tell she wasn't a hockey person, but she worked for NHL.com. So you can't tell me she didn't know her hockey.
Yeah,
she wrote for the National Hockey League.
And it's kind of sad, too, to see how far he has fallen from being the respected writer that he once was when he was working for the Post-Gazette and the Trib and everything.
If I was a writer and I was, you know, verbally abused by him, mentally abused by him as a boss, and I go out and I say if I find a job with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, they may be paying me a little less, probably not compared to what he probably pays. I heard he doesn't pay. He pays pennies. But well, I just heard the pay is not great there. Don't take that, you know.
Well, they're not. They're not full-time employees. None of them are full-time employees. So they don't get benefits or anything.
If I get a similar job, pay, but it's a workplace that I want to be part of. The boss treats you correctly and appropriately, then, like a true boss should, and wants to get the best out of his writers, teaches his writers, then I'm leaving.
And there were some things that I saw where, like, I can understand why people be mad, but I wouldn't really care about like how he didn't pay for gas, but he would also pay for a rental car and airfare. He wouldn't pay for your meal, stuff like that. But he would also pay for a hotel room. And then there was one thing that stuck out to me that really showed you how full of himself he was, is that when they would go to games together, he would upgrade his seat and not his reporter's seat at the games. And that right there stuck out to me. Like, yeah, it's little things like that, but that just shows you how little you care about the people that you hire. And we're going to move on, though. And this one, it's our award of the night, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, this is going to be our awards of the night. It is going to be the of the year awards. And it goes to... We have a three-way tie. Can you believe that, Ian? A three-way tie.
That's impressive for whoever... These three people are, man, we can't even pick one. You got three of them.
We got Kevin Stallings.
What a train wreck. What a pure train wreck.
Todd Haley.
Man, what a swinger.
And Bob Nutting.
Man, Bob Nutting, if he wins, I mean, he can take it. His trophies we're getting, he can, you know, sell it for the gold that it's made of and go make renovations to the Foggy Goggle at Seven Springs. Make some changes and see what the improvements he can make at his baby.
We spent more money on Bob Nutting this year than Bob Nutting spent on Bob Nutting. out of those three people, I mean, the most hated people in Pittsburgh right now, Todd Haley leaving, Stallings. And, you know, before we leave, because we are running out of time, We've already talked about nutting. We've already talked about Todd Haley. Mm-hmm. Can I just have your thoughts on Kevin Stallings as we run out of time here? Just give me some thoughts.
Besides by using the term train wreck, because that Pitt men's basketball program is a train wreck right now. I don't think he's a good coach. I mean, he wasn't a great coach. People say he was a coach at Vanderbilt. That's better than Pitt. But he wasn't a good coach at Vandy. I mean, he lost respect for his players. You know, I forget which one it was, but a guy transferred to Pitt from Vanderbilt and then had to deal with him becoming his coach for his senior season. I mean, that's just a slap in the face. I mean, that should have been a hire because then you're, you know, a player on his team clearly doesn't like you because, like, the. You know, that was just a bad hiring by the old AD. You know, hey, let's bring in Kevin Stallings. Yeah, one guy the team hates him. He transferred him from Vandy because he didn't like him. Oh, guess what? He's your new head coach. Like, that is just a slap in the face. That is bad because that shows you don't care about your players as an athletic department and an athletic director. I just think he's not a good coach. I don't think he has respect of his players. I think he if he recruits you, he makes you think that you're coming to a great program, you're going to learn. But no, he's not going to be a nice guy. He's not going to be a teacher. You're not going to learn from him. And he's just, that's how he is. And I don't think he should be a head coach for a big program because he took the program wasn't great when Jamie Dixon left, but it went from here to down to the bottom, Logan. And if I was Pitt, I'd get him out because the new athletic director, she's done a great job at hirings for the soccer programs and everything. Get him out. Let her get somebody in there because she's been good at hirings. Kevin Stallings, you're terrible. I think you need fired, buddy. You need fired because you're not a head coach.
Well, tell me how you really feel, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, I love Pitt basketball along with Robert Morris, but I love Pitt, and it's just sad to see this basketball program. Robert Morris has a better basketball program. Duquesne, they're the worst in the city. They are the worst in the city, and it is sad to see. Then you have Jamie Dixon, who's flourishing at TCU, ranked, beating big opponents. I think they beat Oklahoma.
West Virginia.
They beat Oklahoma yet? I mean, they are just playing phenomenally. He took a program that was down and built up. Now let's get someone out here that can take over Kevin Stallings' garbage and send him home because Kevin Stallings is not a head coach. He does not have the respect. I'm just repeating myself now. It seems like, but he just – like I don't know who wants to coach for him. He has a whole Louisville situation. It's like – okay, and then Pitino made a comment about him. He's like, okay, how can Rick Pitino comment? Like, yes, he's not a great individual, clearly, after what's happened. But, like, Kevin Stallings, you're not good. You're not good. Terrible hire.
I should have a whole segment on my show. I really wish this was an hour-long episode, but we decided to go 30 minutes to help out our friend producing in CSC.
That was 3 minutes of ranting.
That was 3 minutes.
7:36.
We are 3 minutes over. We are 3 minutes over because of your ranting. we should have a whole segment. Maybe have you on again. That was Gramps. Kevin Stallings, our award of the night.
He's garbage.
I'd like to thank you all for tuning in once again on the TuneIn app, or if you're listening afterwards on RobertMorrisRadio.com, your campus, your voice. I'm Logan Carney. Thank you all for the help that you gave me this year to be a finalist for the IBS Awards. And, you know, thank you, Ian, for joining me today. And I hope your blood pressure gets down as the night goes on. And we will see you next week. I will see you next week. Same time. We have an hour-long episode. Same time, same day. And also tune in to our other radio show, The Tool Shed, on Robert Morris Basketball on Tuesday nights. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Logan Carney. This has been Sports with Carney.
Kevin Stallings, you're trash.